trying to sing it, what I knew of it. But thank the Lord that there is that place at the cross, near His cross, so we have a refuge and a shelter. Need the Lord's help this afternoon, that He would make this alive and helpful to us. I'd like to start in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. And I'm going to give the little disclaimer here that felt like the Lord gave this to me, but also felt like He wanted me to share it and pray that it'll be a blessing and a challenge to you as well. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. Gives some good counsel here. Peter gives through the first part of this chapter. It seems like here, and starting around the 7th verse, gives some counsel about being sober and about how we're to conduct ourselves in our walk with the Lord and with one another, the hospitality that we're to use one to another without grudging. But I'd like to notice the 10th verse that says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." I'd like to consider the thought this afternoon of being stewards of God's grace. It says here of the gift that you've received, even as every man has received of this gift, it puts a responsibility and an obligation upon us. Even so, minister that same gift. The gift, the grace that you've received, the things that the Lord has bestowed upon us, has given us, it comes with it a responsibility and an obligation to it. That you be a good steward of that. That you receive it. Paul, I believe, in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, said, "I have not received the grace of God in vain, but I do labor the more abundantly." The grace that the Lord gave me, the favor that He bestowed upon me, I didn't receive that in vain. I didn't. Hosea, the 10th chapter, the 1st verse, says, "Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself." But that's the substance of it. Living your life for your own self. You know, it's a shallow way to live life. But how many people live lives unto themselves? The Lord wants us to realize that the grace of God that He's given unto us, it is for our benefit. Thank the Lord. It's for our encouragement. It's for our growth. But it's also for the edification of one another. The Lord wants us to be vessels. What is a vessel? A vessel is not something that you just, for instance, a water pot or a pitcher. You don't just pour water in it to sit there. It is to receive the water and then give the water for another purpose. To be able to be a vessel that conveys that water for another purpose and another use. Not to sit there with leaks, with the water leaking out. But Lord, I want to receive the grace of God. I want to receive the things that You teach me, the things that You help me with. I want to be able to use that for the good of others. 2 Corinthians, the 1st chapter. Pray for us this afternoon. 2 Corinthians 1. "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." Thank the Lord for the comfort that the Lord has to give. And every one of us, I know, have been recipients of the Lord's comfort. At times, and it's our prayer, at times of grief and at times of sorrow, Lord, You're the God of all comfort. Lord, You can go and You can minister to the heart of a person like I can't do, like people aren't able to do. I've noticed before people at work and family members that die, And I've observed like the procession of the lion that goes past and people endeavoring to try to say something that'll be of help. And I know it's difficult sometimes. What do I say? I don't know the words to say to really be able to help them. And there's only so far that we can go in our own words. But I've noticed it seems like, especially out in the world, they're speechless. What do you say? Well, life's tough. Man, that's a run of tough luck. Man, I hate that for you. But that's so shallow. It doesn't help to feel regret over what I'm going through. I need something that'll heal. I need some encouraging words. What words of encouragement do you have? Thank the Lord for the comfort that's in Christ. That we have a blessed hope. You know, it seemed like as 1 year rolled around since Sister Karen had passed away and the memories that come with that, remembering all of those times, and it seemed like the devil was there at that time too, trying to bring accusations, and you should have done this differently, and you could have done more here, and I had to say, yes, I should have. And I was talking with someone, and they said, you know, Clint, the Lord wanted to use that. Not only for her sake, for your sake, but to be able to allow you to help others. And the Lord, I believe, uses the places in life that we go through. It said that He comforts us in our tribulations. In the places that I'm going through, thank the Lord for the comfort. The times that, even in that battle, that the Lord would come and give us some strength, give us some encouragement, would reassure us that you don't see the end. You don't know what I'm doing, but I'm working here. Thank the Lord for the ways that He would come and give encouragement. You know, the Scripture says here, that's not the only purpose of it. That ye may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted. It says that we may be able to. Part of the purpose of it. Being a good steward of the manifold grace of God. Lord, I want to use every way that I can to be able to be a help to Your kingdom. That same comfort, the same things that You've taught me. The hard places that I've been through, that You've encouraged, that You've challenged, that You've taught me. Lord, help me to be a good steward of the manifold grace of God. I don't want to just receive it and go on my way and I lose it or I allow it to drain out. Lord, help me, one, to learn by the things that I go through. Help me to get a hold of what You want me to get a hold of through it. Lord, help me to be filled up. I can't just go through life being shallow, being empty, the bottom of the water pitcher being dry, and expect to be able to water the plants, so to speak, around me that are barren and dry. Lord, help me to have something on hand. Help me to receive, and I believe we used the analogy a while back. Scripture talks about those that are clouds without rain. You know what the moisture does is the clouds brood over a warm body of water or something and it spends time there. The more that moisture begins to evaporate, begins to accumulate in that cloud until it's so heavy that as the winds move it over to another part of the earth, that it can drop down the water that it has. That you're to be more than just empty clouds. Don't just be those that go through life just without anything of substance that I've picked up. But notice, you don't drop the water until you've picked it up first. You're not able to give that which is a blessing to others. You're not able to really come. Yes, you can speak words of comfort. But there are places the Lord wants to put us in contact with people. That I can help them in ways that maybe no one else can. Because of what I've been through. To be able to use that same comfort. You see, then I'm being a steward of it. A steward is one that has responsibility with the things that he has. He's going to give an account for what he's done with what he's been given. Lord, I want to be a good steward of it. I want to get out of it the purpose that You have for me. But Lord, I want to be able to be used of You as well. Matthew 10 and the 8th verse. Let's look at this quickly. Matthew 10 and 8. beginning with the sixth verse. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Jesus didn't stop there saying, reminding them that you freely received. Look at all that I've given you. Look at where I brought you from in life. Look at how you've benefited by being in my company and presence. Freely you have received, then it puts a responsibility on you now. Go and freely give. Be willing to freely give of yourselves. Paul said, I freely, willingly, I spend and am spent for you. I'm willing to give of myself. Whenever I'm tired, I'm willing to still help you. Whenever you don't treat me right, I'm willing to still entreat you. Whenever it's not easy on the flesh, I'm willing to deny the flesh and give of myself because I'm sure Paul throughout his life and ministry could look back at that moment on the road to Damascus and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your grace. Lord, thank you that you looked on me and had mercy. Lord, because of that, I can keep going a little longer. Lord, if you had that kind of grace on me, then help me to be a good steward of it. And Paul, that's what he said. I didn't receive the grace of God in vain. The grace that the Lord gave me, the favor that He showed me. Lord, I want to turn and I want to use that for your glory. You know, the Lord has a way for every one of us to do this. This isn't just, and we say oftentimes, it's not just to the preacher. It's not just to, you name the three or four gifts maybe that come to your mind. It's not only for that, but the Lord, every one of us, have we been recipients of the grace of God? You know, it binds a responsibility on us then. Be a good steward of that. That there's a purpose for it. The Lord wants our lives to have a purpose in those that we come in contact with. And it might seem small and insignificant. But if we'll be faithful, let your speech always be with grace, one place the Scripture says. Let it be seasoned with salt, always with grace, that you may be able to know how to give an answer to every man. That I'd be able to bestow upon others the grace and the help that the Lord has given. 1 Corinthians 6, he says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost and ye are not your own? You're bought with a price. You don't belong unto yourselves. We don't live unto ourselves, nor do we die unto ourselves. The Lord help us that we'd be able to be stewards of what He's given us. I'd like to look at 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. 1 Corinthians 12, speaking here of the gifts of the body. Starts out the chapter saying, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Goes on to talk about the diversities of operations and the differences of administrations and the gifts that the Holy Spirit gave. He said that Scripture says when He led captivity captive and He gave gifts unto men. He said to some He gave the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh at one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. For the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. 14th verse, but the body is not one many member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? Now are they many members, yet but one body. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the hand of the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. Believe that there was a reason that Paul was given this instruction, this trying to convey the understanding to them that every member of the body is valuable. It's necessary. There's not an unnecessary member of the body. Those parts of the body that maybe, and it doesn't say that the Lord thinks is less desirable, but that we would look on and in our minds would think maybe that's not as necessary. Maybe the place that I'm filling, it seems like I'm really not making any difference. There's really, if only I could be brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, and I could be in the place that I'm doing the kind of work that they're doing. But you know, the Lord has not called us to be brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. He's called me in the place that I'm in with the grace that He's given me, and He wants me to make use of the gift that He's given me, the responsibilities that He's given. He teaches in this that you're not to look at others and wish that you could be the part of the body that they are. You're not to look and emulate among yourselves that I want to be able to attain to something more than whatever. If only I could have this position or that. The Lord has placed the members where He wants them. The Lord divided severally. He divided to everyone. He placed the members where He knew. This is right where I need you. This is the very thing that I've bestowed upon you for the purpose of carrying out that function of the body. Nor are we, on the other hand, to look at others and think that it's less needful. But what I want us to really look at here out of this, the last verse of the chapter, and I'll admit that this is one that I've wrestled with a little bit. Lord, what is the true meaning of this? What are You trying to get across to us in this? And I'll read it. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet shew I unto you a more excellent way. And I won't propose to be able to fully expound on it. But what I seem like the Lord impressed me with in this, covet earnestly, is to have a fervent desire, a warmth of feeling for, or to be zealously affected by. Lord, I want to be able to be of the most use that I can be in the body. Lord, I want to be able to be useful. I don't want to just be content to be in a place that I'm not making the fullest use of the grace that You've given me. Before we continue there, I want to look back at Matthew, the 25th chapter. Won't read all of it because I think we're familiar with it. Matthew, the 25th chapter, the parable of the talents. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man, the 14th verse, traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And he gave, unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability. You know what several ability means? Individual, personal, tailor-made. The Lord knows every one of us. He knows our makeup, our disposition. He knows our personality. He knows those that we're able to relate with. And the Lord, looking on every one of us, knows far better. Don't we believe in Holy Spirit leadership? Aren't we thankful that the Lord is the head of this church? The government's on His shoulders. I don't have to look and try to discern and understand. I think You'd fit here. And I think You'd fit here, and we're going to try to fit You into this role. The Lord's able to do that. The Lord knows how to say, I want You to be here. I want You to fill this place. You can look in the Old Testament at the building of the altar, I believe it was. He said, don't lay your hands to any of the stones. You don't try to fit it yourself. But you take whole stones. You know what we're to be? Living stones. We're to be living stones that the Lord fits together by His Spirit, by the graces that He gives every one of our lives, that He'll make us, He'll form us into that place. And if I try to step out of that, Lord, I want to try to be this.
I want to try to fill this role. I look at it in my mind and I think, oh, if only I could do that. And I remember I'd hear mission reports as a child and I think, oh, I want to go the next time they go to Africa. Boy, I can make the most difference there. That's where I could really get some work done. Little did I know the Lord would call for some of that. But do you know what He did first? He said, you be faithful where you are. And you know, I've had times before in my own life where I thought, Lord, what do you want me to do here? Lord, surely there's something more that I can be doing. And I've tried to think, well, Lord, I guess I could go do this. And Lord, I guess maybe I could try to arrange this and maybe this would be a good thing. You know what? The Lord's come to me several times and said, be faithful where you are. Be faithful with what I've given you to do. Don't be looking, and I hear it even in the, and I see it, even in the business world. People are getting into a job and a role, and you can tell the only thing they've got in their mind, I want to climb the ladder. I'm in here to check the box, and I'm going to be gone as soon as I can. You know, they don't really get in there and try to understand and do the very best. As I was in India talking on the business part of the trip, talking to some of the employees there about the job that they were doing and career and those kind of things, I told them, focus on executing what you do, the very best that you can do. Don't be focused on what can I do next. Be focused on what I can do today. Amen. Don't be looking 10 years down the road, because if you take care of today, tomorrow will take care of itself. If you do a job, and I can remember as a co-op, an intern just starting out in the business world, there were some that started with me the same year. One boy in particular. I remember him saying, Clint, my manager gave me such and such job. I can't believe he'd give me something like that. That's below me. I can do bigger things than that. Well, you know what? My boss gave me one of the jobs. He said, Clint, I worked in building and maintenance for the plant, that job. He said, Clint, if you really want something more, because I go to him, I finish this up, is there anything more that I can do? So, well, it's not going to be real fun. But if you want to, there's a bunch of bins with plumbing parts up there, and they're dirty. And they're not organized, they're mislabeled. If you want to go and spend some time on that, you know what? I got my hands dirty. I got my clothes dirty. I had to kneel down. Here I was getting a college degree. And I had to kneel down pulling out old plumbing parts, and I didn't even know what some of them were called. I have to try to find out what this, well, that's a union. I'll label that correctly and organize it. But there were some that said, I'll never do things like that. You know, when we're willing to humble ourselves and say, I'm not focused on trying to do the big jobs. I'm not focused on, give me a glamorous job. If I'm of a mindset that I say, what needs to be done? What's the place that needs to be filled? And you know, I think that's part of the essence of that scripture that we read in 1 Corinthians. Covet earnestly the best gifts. Lord, how can I make the very best of the gift that you have for me? Lord, is there something more that I can do with it? Lord, am I making full use of the grace that you've given me? Is there, you know, we can wait sometimes on the Lord. Lord, I'm looking to you to work something out here and Lord, to open a door here and I'm waiting on you to, you know, sometimes the Lord's waiting on us. And by that I mean sometimes the Lord's wanting us to get to a place, maybe He wants to teach us something more. Maybe He wants me to get to a little deeper level. But you know what it's going to require? Getting dirty, so to speak. Getting my hands dirty. Being willing to get in there and do the menial, day-to-day, nobody's-looking task. And being faithful at that. Day after day, day after day. And as I'm faithful in those things, Lord, I'm faithful first to my own soul. And as that begins to progress, you know, the Lord, and as I told the folks in India, they said, we want some bigger jobs. And I said, you do the one that you have to the very best of your ability. You demonstrate to others that you're able to perform the job that you have. And the bigger jobs will come to you. You know, he that is faithful in little is faithful in much. Whenever we're faithful in the little things the Lord gives us to do. But Lord, that's nothing. Lord, I was talking about something big. I was talking about praying with somebody for them to be saved. Lord, that's the kind of thing I wanted to be doing. Not taking the trash out. Not work day. Not going to visit somebody that's sick. Whatever it is that the Lord gives us to do, if we're to be good stewards, requires faithfulness, requires perseverance, requires diligence, day after day, week after week, that it's not something that I do service as men pleasers, the Scripture says, of a servant, that he not serve as men pleasers doing eye service. In other words, when people are looking, boy, I'll really straighten up and work my best then. I'll really put out some extra effort when people are looking, but whenever nobody's around, I kind of slacken the pace a little bit. I kind of let up a little bit. Lord, help us that we would be good stewards. Because I'm going to give an account. And what Paul, I believe, was urging them to, make the very best of it. You know, maybe it's easier for us to look at that Scripture and say what it's not telling us. It's certainly not telling us that you look at other positions around and say that's less desirable. Because the preceding part of the chapter completely addressed that. You don't look at other members and other gifts as being less comely or less needful, for that's not the case. It's not out of a desire to covet that which benefits the flesh. It's not to be out of a desire that, Lord, I want to be seen. I want to have a position. I want recognition. I want to be able for people to be able to realize and see the things that I'm... That's not what Paul's urging them to. And he went on to say, I show you a more excellent way. You know what the next chapter deals with? Charity. And he said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not charity. If I have and I'm able to do all these great and eloquent and beautiful things, but I've overlooked the very essence of what it's all about. Strive more to obtain the gift of the Spirit, or the graces of the Spirit, to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. And the Lord will have the gifts. Notice there in the 25th chapter of Matthew, to some He gave 5, 2, and 1, according to their individual, unique, tailor-made ability. In other words, the Lord has a Clint-sized talent. And it may not be very much. The Lord may have something more for Brother Larry or for Sister Diane or for any one of you. And I can't look at that and say, well, why didn't I get the talents that they have? Well, you know what? I just can't do anything. What little bit I'm able to do, it's not worth anything. Why am I spending my energy? I'm not able to make any difference. In other words, I'm not able to please the Father. I'm not able to please the Master. So what did the one man with the one do? I'll just forget about it. I'll just go and I'll leave it behind and I'll not able to do anything with it. It's of no account anyway. Maybe if I had 5 talents like so-and-so over there, maybe I could make a difference. But all I have is 1. And take it and say, I knew that you were a hard and an austere man. I knew that you gathered where you did not straw. Had a misperception of him, we might say, for one thing. Believing in himself that I'm never going to be able to make use of it. But you know, they had to stand and give an account. And those that were faithful, the man that was faithful with 2, they didn't look at the one with 5 and say, if only I was my brother with 5. Lord, I have 2 talents. What do you want me to do with this? Lord, how can I make use? How can I benefit others in your kingdom with it? Those that are faithful in little will be faithful in much. And so he bestowed upon them additional talents that they were to use. Lord, help us that we be faithful in what He gives us to do.
and the responsibilities and the task and the opportunities. Help us that we never get so far-sighted, trying to see, trying to envision myself in pictures of doing great things for the Lord, that I lose sight of the little things that I could be doing all along the way. The little seeds that I could be planting, that all this time could be germinating and growing. Oh, I don't believe there's any place more valuable and rewarding than to be in the center of God's will. You know that feeling of doing something for the Lord? Helping somebody, maybe nobody else, but me and them know about it. You know, there's nothing that can replace the feeling of that blessing. There's nothing that can replace being able to feel the Lord say, "Well done. I'm pleased with that. I'm pleased with what you've done. You're making use of what I've given you now. The abilities that I've given you. You're making good use of that to benefit others." 2 Timothy 2:21 speaks about the vessel. "If any man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, meet for the master's use, suitable for the master's use." So you know what part of this coveting earnestly is? Lord, I want to be more suitable. Lord, I want to be able to be used of You in a greater way, in whatever place it is, in whatever You want me to do. Lord, in the one talent that You've given me, I want to be faithful in that. Lord, I want to be suitable. I want to be a vessel in order for a vessel to be used, for it to be filled. It has to be emptied first. I want to be empty. I want to empty out of myself. I want to be in a place, Lord, that I've done all that I can do, Lord. I'm fervent. You know what the Scripture says was that unto Timothy, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." You know, with every several ability, or with every unique job, there's a unique skill set needed for it. And I think about, again, the business world as well. Though every different kind of trade has a unique skill set. I'm not that good with my hands anymore. People say because you work in an office and all of that, maybe that's so. You know, you take someone like Brother Rick, though, that has the ability and the gift to be able to go, "I wouldn't be able to do what Brother Rick does." But according to our several ability, is what the Lord wants for us to be able to give. "The grace that He has bestowed on me is not in vain." And so the instruction was unto Timothy, study. This is what you're called into. So give it everything you have. You know what Scripture says, whatever, was it in Ecclesiastes maybe, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Whatever little thing my hand finds, Lord, You've given me this to do. You've asked me to do this little thing, or I've seen this need. I'm not going to do it with half-hearted service. I'm not just going to hang my head and I just go through the motions. No, Lord, I see a purpose in it. This is as unto You. It's not with eye service as men pleasers. Lord, this is unto You. I want to give the very best gift to You. So what I do have, what I do, the responsibilities I have, I want to make the very best of it. Timothy, you've been called to be a minister. And folks, this is where the Lord's challenged me as well. Make the very most of it. Give yourself unto it. Lord, this is what You've given me to do. Lord, I want to make the very most of it. I want to study. I want to give myself to it. I want to give my energy and my time to it, that, Lord, You might be able to multiply it. Because it's not my works. It's not my strength. But when I give myself to something that the Lord's given me to do, and I do it with all my heart and all my might and my strength, the Lord's able to take that and multiply it. And He's able to do more with it. But He's requiring of us our diligence, our perseverance, our willingness to give everything we have. Covet earnestly, fervently desire.
fervently long for, Lord, is there anything more? Any place that I could be of more benefit to Your kingdom? Not out of dissatisfaction, disgruntled, I want something different, I need a change of scenery, the grass is greener on the other side. Lord, is there something more that You can cultivate in my life? Be careful. Do You mean it? Because there's a lesson in particular that the Lord had to cultivate for me. And I mentioned it at the start. Lord, that's a difficult way to be able to help somebody that's in a difficult trial, that's in a prolonged illness or a caregiver. That's a difficult way to learn a lesson. Lord, help me to learn it to the best that You have. Help me to be able to learn it for my own self, to be able to learn what You have for me. But Lord, if I'm praying, make me useful. Make me a blessing. I might be saying, Lord, do whatever it takes to make me useful. Put me through the test. Put me through the trial. Whatever You need me to go through. Because Lord, my fervent coveting is that of spiritual things. Lord, I want You to bestow more of the grace of God on me. Lord, I want more of Your Spirit working in my life. That's where the additional blessing comes from. That's where the additional ability and power to do more than what I'm able to do comes from. It's only by the Spirit which worketh in us. If any man speak, let him speak as the ability which God giveth, not according to man's ability. Lord, multiply what I have. Work in me Your grace. So I want to challenge and encourage us. Let's be faithful stewards of the grace of God, of what the Lord gives us, of the responsibilities, of the grace, the favor, the long-suffering, the comfort, the encouragement. You know how much people in this world, you say, well, what can I do? I'm not a preacher. You know how much darkness this world is in? You know how much gloom and despair, how many people are on antidepressants? You know what a smile can do? And you think, oh, come on now. You're talking about smiling to somebody. I'm talking about being faithful in the little things. A smile. A word of encouragement. Do you know how far that can go in somebody's life? Lord, help us that we not underestimate, undervalue the importance of those little pricks that I feel in my heart. Go speak to them. Go encourage them. Go bake a cake for him and take a bite. Go do something for him. Go by and visit him. The Lord's able to take our little bit and multiply and make much from it. You pray for me. Amen.